Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we're broadcasting from the studio at AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina. And I want you to know this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I have a special announcement that I want to take a minute to make today, and that is concerning this coming Saturday night. This Saturday night, February the 22nd at 7 p.m., the Watauga County Singing is going to be held at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That is 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. Just off of Baird's Creek is just off of 105 South, Highway 105 South. We're just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come be with us this Saturday night. If you are interested in shape note singing, that's what this county singing always features, and just different choirs and singers come out, and we always have a good time, and we're looking forward to that on this coming Saturday night, February 22nd at 7 p.m. That's the Watauga County Singing, so we'd love for you to come be with us. We also have a church website that talks about our regular services and directions and phone numbers and all of those things. But I wanted to mention the county singing coming up this Saturday night. We'd love for you to come and to be with us there. If you would like more information, I'm going to give you two phone numbers. One is Brother Clint Cornett. He sort of heads this up, him and Brother Neil Oliver. And Brother Clint Cornett, his phone number is 828-297-3270. And so that's 828-297-3270. And then Brother Neil Oliver, he also has an 828-297 number, and it is 828-297-3653. And so I wanted to mention that as we get started today. And then also I want to welcome our other radio stations. We have AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. And also we are on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And so we very much appreciate the opportunity to be on these fine radio stations. And we wanted to thank our listeners as well and welcome you to the broadcast today. If you are a regular listener, you know that we have been studying the United States Constitution. And we're going to continue on with that today. Last week, we took a little break and we gave an update concerning the book controversy that is currently going on in Watauga County. And so last week, we took a little break. But today we're going to get back into talking about the United States Constitution. And I want to say that it is encouraging that there seems to be more people waking up to the fact that our Constitution is being and has been being for some time now. And we're talking about over a few different presidents, more than that really, for 10, 20 years, and the farther we go, the worse it gets. But we have this ignoring and trampling on the United States Constitution. It seems like they just discard what it says. Now, if it's in the Republicans' favor or the Democrats' favor, and I have no favor with either one of them, I'm sure of that. But, you know, if it suits their agenda, they'll start trumpeting, talking about we need to follow the Constitution. If it does not go along with their agenda, they won't say anything about the United States Constitution. But there's more and more people waking up to the fact that our Constitution is being discarded. And that's a very dangerous thing for our country. I just hope it's not too little, too late that people are waking up to this. But and I've been talking about this for several years now and been aware of it. But You see even the more mainstream commentators, columnists talking about this and bringing it up. I brought an article today, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just by way of example, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This is by columnist, writer Cal Thomas. He's a conservative writer, and he wrote a column. This was in the newspaper on Monday, February the 17th. And the title of his article says, "Taking the Law into His Own Hands." And he gives a quote from a novel, Jane Eyre, written by Charlotte Bronte. And in that book, it says, "If at my convenience I might break them," talking about the laws, "what would be their worth?" And so if we have a president, if we have a Congress, if we have a Supreme Court, if we have in our leadership people that just break the laws at whim, well, what good are the laws? They're no good whatsoever. If you can just break them and there's no repercussions whatsoever, well, that's where we are when it comes to the Constitution. And he goes on and he talks in this article. He gives an example. According to the Galen Institute, which is a nonprofit public policy research organization out of Alexandria, Virginia, they said more than 27 significant changes already have been made to Obamacare, or at least 10 that President Obama has made unilaterally, 15 that Congress has passed and the president has signed, and 2 by the Supreme Court. He goes on down and says, "Where does the president get the power to unilaterally change a law?" On Monday, during a tour of Thomas Jefferson's home with French President Francois Hollande, the president quipped to reporters about being able to tour the home, which was closed that day. He said, "That's the good thing about being president. I can do whatever I want." And Mr. Thomas makes reference to the old adage, "Many a true word is spoken in jest." And that certainly seems to be the attitude of Mr. Obama when it comes to about anything. He has the attitude, "I'm the president and I can do anything I want." Well, he goes on down, talks about Obamacare and some other things. He says, "This president, like all presidents, took an oath twice in his case to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States, and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." He says, "In deciding what part of a law he wishes to obey and unilaterally altering a law passed by Congress and signed by himself, a faithful execution of his office, is he preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution by such behavior?" And then the very last sentence in the article, he says, "The founders foresaw the danger when a president behaves like a king." They saw the danger when a president behaves like a king. And underneath that is a political cartoon, and it has Mr. Obama standing behind the presidential seal, the podium. He's evidently making a speech. And he has a long train coming out from behind that, a long robe, a flowing robe laying on the ground like a king would wear. And the caption that the president is saying, "As a president, I can do whatever I want." Well, I'm telling you, that's not right. That's not the way that our government was set up to be, that a president can do whatever he wants. And he's made several statements lately. I have a phone and a pen. I'll go around Congress when I can. Things are not moving quickly enough. Well, you know, our government was set up that we would have a system of checks and balances, and things are designed to move slowly. Things are designed to be hard to get things done. And what that does, that incorporates the checks and balances of our government and should protect us from tyranny. There's a verse in the Bible, Psalms chapter 11 and verse number 3, and it simply says this, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" If you tear down the foundation, There's not much that you can that's left to be done. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we've been talking about the Constitution, and we need to be aware of and know what it teaches, and also the Declaration of Independence, and along with that, the Bill of Rights. But what we've seen so far, just a very quick review, we have seen seven institutions in the Constitution. There's we the people. Number two, there's the militia. Number three, there are the states. Number four, there are the United States. Number five, there's the Congress. Number six, the President. Number seven, the Supreme Court. We have been looking at number one, that is we the people, the preamble to the Constitution, and the most important institution in the Constitution is, of course, we the people. The preamble starts out, it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. And we spent several weeks talking about we the people. Now, that's the most important group. The second, which we started to talk about just a couple of weeks ago, we just started to introduce the second institution, and that is the militia. And we said this before we went off the air when we were talking about the militia. You say, what is the militia? Remember this. The militia is simply we the people armed. That is what the militia is. I'm going to show you that from history and from some of the writings of our founding fathers and also some court cases. But what is the militia? The militia gets a bad reputation in this day and time. Well, the powers that be would like you to think that the militia is a bad thing. But I'm here to tell you today, the militia is a good thing. The militia guards our liberties. The militia is we the people, well armed. Now, the militia is not the army, the navy, the National Guard, or law enforcement. People, they argue, they say, we don't need the Second Amendment. No, they'll say, nobody needs to have a gun. We have the army. We have the police officers. We have the sheriff's deputies. We have the National Guard. Nobody needs to be armed. Nobody needs to have a rifle or a pistol or anything like that. But I pointed out before, and I'll make mention of it again today, that the army and the Navy, and that's the main argument against the militia. People say, well, that's the Army and the Navy. That's the military. But I pointed this out before, that the Army, the Navy, and since that time, the Marines and also the Air Force would be included in this, but the Army and the Navy are both created and financially sustained by Congress. This is spelled out in the United States Constitution. Article 1, Section number 8 talks about the power that Congress has. And it says about Congress, it says to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. They have to come back and refund the military over and over again. You remember last year when they talk about the government shutdown and they talk about services being cut and this being cut out of the military. And the next thing it says, to provide and maintain a Navy. So the Army and the Navy are created by Congress and they are supported and sustained financially by Congress. Congress can actually defund the military and basically reduce it to nothing. I know when the first Gulf War happened, back in the early 90s, I was in the United States Air Force. I was supposed to be in the Air Force 6 months longer than I was. But as soon as the Gulf War was over, they implemented a big drawdown, and they were letting people out of the military right and left. They were looking for volunteers. They'd built up the military. They wanted to reduce. They wanted to get rid of. They wanted to cut it. And so that's exactly what they did. Congress does these things. And so they can actually defund the military to the point of being ineffective. But now the militia, on the other hand, when we're talking about the militia, it is dependent upon none of these groups. It is not dependent upon Congress, whether it exists, its funding, its supplies, its readiness is not dependent upon Congress, the President of the United States, the Supreme Court, the United States. The militia is independent of these other institutions. So we ask ourselves a question today. What is the militia? George Mason was one of the framers of the United States Constitution. He was asked, what is the militia then? He said this, the militia shall consist of the whole body of people minus public officials. The whole body of people, that is we the people, minus public officials. That means that those who are elected to office are not part of the militia. They are part of the government. The militia is apart from and separate from the government. That's pretty exact. The militia shall consist of the whole body of people minus public officials. Now, the most well-known mention of the militia is in the Bill of Rights. It's known as the Second Amendment, and probably most everybody is at least familiar with some of the Second Amendment. We hear it quoted quite often, but I'm going to read it. It's in the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, that is one sentence. The Second Amendment is one sentence. And the militia and the people are not two separate entities. The militia and the people are one and the same. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma. Here's a further description of what that means. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The founders of this nation realized how important an armed citizenry was to our freedoms. In fact, if it were not for an armed citizenry, if it were not for the militia, there would have never been a United States of America to begin with. We would still be subjects of Great Britain. So they realized they had just fought a war. They realized that in order to be free, the people had to be armed. This is just the way that it was. Now, I want to read some quotations to you. This is examples from history about different things that our founders have said about the militia and about an armed citizenry. Noah Webster, I'm going to read something that Mr. Noah Webster said, and I really enjoy Noah Webster. In fact, many times when I give a definition of a word, I'm quoting from Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the American Language. Mr. Noah Webster was a wonderful, dedicated Christian individual, and I love his dictionary. I highly recommend it to anybody. That's the original Webster's Dictionary. Well, here's what he said about the subject. He said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the people are armed. Constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops. What he was saying, there's more of us than there are of them. This keeps a tyrant from taking over, an armed citizenry or the militia. Well, there's a court case in 1886. It was called Presser versus Illinois. And he had something to say about this militia. All citizens capable of bearing arms constitute the reserved military force or reserve militia. The states cannot, even laying the constitutional provision in question, talking about the Second Amendment, it said the states cannot lay it aside, out of view, or prohibit the people from keeping and bearing arms. And so the militia, once again, is the people. This is a quotation from Justice Joseph Story, and he wrote a set of commentaries on the Constitution of the United States. This is dated 1833. He said this about the militia. The militia is the natural defense of a free country against sudden foreign invasions. Now, I want to say I've read this several different places over the years. And when World War II was going on and Japan was debating about attacking America, that they decided to attack Pearl Harbor. And one of the reasons that they didn't attack the mainland was they said, talking about the Japanese forces, they said in America, there's a gun behind every bush or behind every blade of grass. They knew the American people were armed. And so we have never been invaded since the American Revolutionary War, and then after that, the War of 1812. But most of our enemies know that Americans are armed. And so that is to repel against the desire of other countries to invade us. So the natural defense of a free country against sudden foreign invasions, domestic insurrections, and domestic usurpations of power by rulers. That's a ruler that would just come in, take over, and be a tyrant. The militia is there. The armed citizenry is there to guard against that. He said the right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium, that word means a fortress or a safeguard, the palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them. It ought to concern us the many ways our Second Amendment is under attack by those that are in leadership, those who are in power. That ought to concern us. And I'm talking about from the White House on down. I'll tell you, in countries historically, who has been for disarming the people has been the tyrants, has been the worst examples of leaders in the history of the world have been those who have been tyrants, who have been bloody, murdering tyrants and killed their own people. And you can look at Communist China, and you can look at Joseph Stalin, and you can look at communism in Russia, and you can give example after example after example of governments that have murdered their own citizens when after they disarmed them. It's a very serious thing. Let me read what Patrick Henry's had to say about this. I love to read after Patrick Henry. And he also was a great leader in our nation once upon a time, and he was a very dedicated Christian individual. Patrick Henry at the Virginia Convention said this, "Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel." If we were to listen to the advice of Patrick Henry, we would be suspect of anybody who wanted to remove the liberties of the American people, whether it's the Fourth Amendment, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. Patrick Henry said we should guard with jealous attention the public liberty. He said, unfortunately, nothing will preserve it, talking about our liberty, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, talking about the armed citizenry, whenever you give up that force, you are ruined. The great object is that every man be armed. everyone who is able may have a gun. Isn't that interesting? Well, what is the militia? The militia is the armed citizenry. Now I want to give some examples from the Constitution itself. I realize if you sat down and read the Constitution, most people would say, well, that's boring. Well, it is. I'll be honest. It's got some dry parts to it, but it's got some parts we need to pay attention to. Article 1, Section number 8 talks about, and I've already read some of this, it talks about that Congress would support the Army, maintain a Navy. But if you ever notice that it goes on down, and it says in Article 1, Section 8, to provide, this is what Congress shall do also, to provide for the calling forth of the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. This is at the very outset. The militia was not to be created and sustained like an army and a navy, but the militia in that day was already in existence. How do we know that? It was talking about the armed citizenry. Everybody knew that. They understood that. There are three reasons given there for having a militia. This is right out of the Constitution. The militia, to execute the laws of the Union. That's reason number one. To suppress insurrections. That's reason number two. And repel invasions. If we were to be invaded by another country, by an enemy, the militia can be called forth to repel invasions. Then it says to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states, respectively, the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. The militia should, the power of it should be retained in the states. That's what that is saying there. But the militia should not be being branded as evil by the government. A true militia should be encouraged and nurtured and promoted by the government. For example, George Washington was over the colonial armies, yes, but he was also working with the militia in the American Revolutionary War. And some people I know have, you hear the militia and people get all tore up about that. But if you love America, you ought to give thanks for the militia. The militia is the reason why America is America, talking about a physical standpoint. Thank God for those that fought, that left the fields, that left their families, and provided for their own supplies, and they went out and fought that we might have this great country that we have today. Well, the greatest guard of liberty today is steel and armed citizenry. And so we appreciate what the Constitution says about these things. We see our time is quickly come and gone today. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. We appreciate him and all he does to help us. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.